5, we will call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors.
Please rise, pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byer, Setzer. First thing on the agenda is a consent agenda, which is a general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held October 5th. Approve all claims through October 19th in the amount of $482,034.19. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee report for month of September 2011. Approve register of deeds summary fee report for month of September 2011. Approve fiscal year 2010-2011 NBCS report from the highway department.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, with the exception of considering item number 2 separately.
Motion by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Item number 2. Need a motion to approve item 2, or you, because you were not here?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. Abstaining, Juergens and Bauman. In favor, Dorn, Adams, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. You're up.
Thank you very much. My name is Mary Bargman Crawford, Mary Crawford, and I represent Congressman Adrian Smith. And I'm here this morning because I wanted to give you some preliminary information about how to reach the congressman, and also to inform you that Congressman Smith will become, if he's reelected, will become your congressman in January of 2013, another year from now. Due to the population changes in Nebraska, the census from 2010, the results were known this year. Our Nebraska legislature then did the redistricting for state senate offices, but also the congressional offices. And the change in the 3rd District has now expanded so that we are further to the east. Congressman Smith will be representing 3.5 more counties to the northeast. We go to Dakota County, South Sioux City, and then here in southeast Nebraska, Gage County, Otto, Pawnee, Nemaha, and Johnson. So we go down the river, to the river, both at the top of the Missouri and the bottom here in the state, and also clear to the western border. Congressman Smith would at that point be representing 75 of Nebraska's 93 counties.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. And my role is in charge of outreach and operations for the congressman. So it's part of my challenge to make sure that we have staff here to service the constituents, to have mobile offices. And that is one of the things I wanted to assure you, that we will be having a mobile office in Gage County on a regular basis, probably here in the courthouse if there's a meeting location where individuals can come in and meet with staff. When the congressman is in the community, he accepts your invitations, requests to meet with him, opportunities for tours, opportunities to get to know the constituents and the businesses here. I will say that I am a native, so I think he might have a leg up in the fact that I've got a little bit of inside track on a few things. I'm an alum here of Beatrice High School. I was glad to go to the orchestra concert last night, by the way. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to entertain those. But I do have information that I'd like to pass out, if I might do so, so that you'll have one of these.
Now might be the time to touch on this a little bit. The Homestead's having their 150th celebration.
Yes, they are, and I was out there yesterday to meet with Mark Engler.
Mark probably talked about they would like to have the president there.
He did mention that. He's also invited the congressional delegation, of course.
I received a call yesterday from, I thought it was a prank call, actually, from the White House Event Planning Center staff. And my first thought is, with friends like mine, I know who's doing this. But they do not plan anything past 3 months into the future. So I do know that is a very important part of the United States history. So if you can help on that aspect for the homestead, we would appreciate it.
I'll let Congressman Smith know about the event, certainly, and the fact that I believe the invitation was just sent to him this week as well. So.
Yeah, probably. Well, they probably sent that. Mark drafted a letter, and I signed it for Mark from Gage County. So I think the board all saw that letter, didn't they? So that's where that's coming from.
It's pretty exciting to have the Homestead Act coming, the proclamation itself coming to Beatrice.
And if the congressman felt that it would be important for us, for him to make an appointment with members of the White House team, I'm sure we could find a delegation to go back to meet with them if they would find that helpful.
Okay, I'll pass that on to him.
Good.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Mr. Byers.
Yeah, that's years of wisdom coming there. I never thought of that. So, okay, anything else?
What earlier you commented on the fact that we in Gage County will actually be voting on Congressman Smith's office next year, even though he's not our congressman, but that's who we.
Yes. To clarify, Mr. Fortenberry technically will be your representative through this whole next year, 2012, and then Mr. Smith needs to run for the office. So he will be the name on the ballot on the Republican side for the primary in May and then again in the general election in November. So, yes, you do vote for your congressperson.
Okay. I have nothing else.
Well, thank you for your service, and thank you for the time today.
Thank
you. Appreciate
it.
Thank you, Mary.
Paul, do you want to help me on this? Eleanor Rector's retiring after 27 years with Gage County. Paul, you want to give a little background here?
Well, I'd just say that a generation and some more of 4-H'ers and Home Extension Club people and people in the county have contacted our office. Eleanor Rector served as our office manager and also the receptionist. Done a fantastic job over those years, very dedicated. You can tell Eleanor, you can make her sign the form. You only work 8 hours. You can tell her that. You can do this. But when she goes out the door, she's got a packet under her arm and does the rest of it at home. And that's the kind of dedication she has. She just cares about the job and did well and worked hard for the people of Gage County. And we appreciate that over the years. So.
On behalf of Gage County, thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
I think they want a picture here.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
We might have to get a kid. Thank you.
Thank you. That seemed like 27 years, but I guess if the people you work with, you enjoy them, and time does fly. So I do appreciate the award from and we'll treasure it for. So
you'll be missed, Eleanor.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, and enjoy retirement. Paul, do you have a couple minutes, or do you need to do something here? Because
no, I need to be at an appointment at about 9:30, so I can do that.
It's. The extension office agreement has not been reviewed in 14 years. We were talking, Gary is, what's that committee? HR committee. So just to review the contract, because it hasn't been reviewed in 14 years. Okay. So at some point, you guys need to get together on that.
All right.
And then also, we have not discussed on the auditor's report of the rental space out there. If you want to touch on that so everyone hears it from you at the same time.
Okay. The question the auditor had was we have a corner office that's occupied by Benita Schuster and the Nebraska Farm Business Association. Benita Schuster is an employee of the University of Nebraska, as is her boss, Tina Barrett, in Lincoln. They are employees of the university, and there are some employees of the Nebraska Farm Business Association that aren't university employees, but they are university employees, and that's because the university wants a liaison with the Farm Business Association for the purpose of data that can help plan things like what kind of revenues there's going to be, what kind of situation. Actually, when the governor calls and says, what is the true farm situation out there? The university says, well, get a hold of the farm, you know, Ag Econ Department. Okay, well, let's go get those Farm Business Association records so we actually have some real-life touch with what those revenues are like or what those issues are at that time. So that's why that liaison is there. Okay, so we had that originally here because we were promoting improvement of record keeping by farmers that would not only be records for tax purposes, but records that they can use to better manage their operation. And it has been successful in slowly evolving that kind of thing. All right. So they pay a fee. The auditor said, well, that's rent. That's got to be in the coffers of Gage County. That's fine. We transferred everything there, and I want to assure you that anything we ever collected from her, from that organization and all that, may have been, quote-unquote, in our revolving fund, but when we remodeled the office, we paid for all the window treatments. When we bought the last copy machine, we paid half of the cost of that, so those monies have been invested as tax. I did tell you that, and the auditor doesn't care about hearing about that, but I want you guys to know that's you know, those monies have always been there. So those monies have been transferred now and like that. The question then is, we have to pay equitable rate for that. That's what the auditor says. We've got to pay an equitable rate for that room, and $50 isn't enough for that. Well, we surveyed. And if you would look at the range of rates for that size room, for the space that essentially they're renting, and you look at that in Gage County, that rate would be from $40 to $65, and they're paying $50. So I don't know if they're paying the right rate or not. That's up to you to determine, but that's within rental rates of the county, and that's being transferred to the treasurer at this time.
How many square feet is that office?
It's like a 9 by 12 or something like that. Yeah.
So the auditor is the one who highlighted it, and it'll come out in the final report, which they talked to you about it. They talked to finance committee one day, but with Paul here, it's a great time to...
I think we've got everything else done. We've closed all of those accounts that they said to close. I think all those other things are done, and we're... operating, you know, in accordance with our whole thing there. But
and on the contract, 14 years, we just feel it's time it's reviewed. I mean, things change, and there may be something in there that both sides want to look at a little differently. I don't know that.
The benefit that we have by having Benita there is, you know, is that, for example, someone is starting a small agricultural enterprise. They moved to this county from out of state. They've never been in an agricultural enterprise before. So how do they do the accounting for that or like that? So that person came in, we sold them a $5 farm account book, and then Benita spent 15, 20 minutes with them explaining then some of the details of how they would do that proper accounting to help them get started. And then they got to go to their accountant or whatever they're going to do beyond that. But, you know, that's a big help to have that kind of help there that I can't help people with. So.
The people pay a fee to this company, or is it just like all the extension stuff? In my opinion, extension stuff's free. Is it the same way there?
Well, yeah, extension stuff is free, and it's not free. Generally speaking, we would have a fee that's going to cover some of the operational costs on most everything we do today, not the full cost or like that. Farm Business Association is the same way. They should charge a fee that would be, I would say, comparable to what fees that they charge other things. So there is an enterprise there, yes, and we're not picking up any of those kind
of
fees.
Are they for profit?
No, they're not a for profit group.
I have nothing else.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, approve or disapprove resolution for highway superintendent to do sign study at the intersection of South 120th Road and East Spruce Road, northeast corner section 7 and southwest corner section 5, Liberty Township, and report back to board within 30 days. 11-36.
The motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove nominating David Norton, Grant Jones, and Gwen Cooper to serve on the hospital authority for a term commencing October 1st, 2011 and terminating September 30th, 2017.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman. Are these replacing folks or are these the same people that have been on there? I don't know who's on that hospital.
I think Grant might be new, but I think Dave and Gwen have been on there.
I think Norton and Gwen were both on.
I think Grant is new too, yeah.
We received the petition, checked the signatures, and they had more than adequate amount to make sure that they are residents, and so the signatures came back on.
Rex, I knew at this, but what does the hospital authority board do, I guess?
Well, basically, by law, they have to approve the bond issues that come out. So
does Gary have a contract?
I'm sure they have other purposes, but that's a big one right now with the new hospital being constructed. So I think the attention turns to make sure we have a full board and stuff.
So they're not a, per se, governing board for the hospital or anything like that?
No.
Okay.
No, they're separate and apart.
Okay. Okay, any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove corrected SEND outdoor warning system project personal property lease agreement with the County of Gage, and with the county share being $9,042.50, a corrected amount from the previous agreement.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
This is, we visited about this in EMS Emergency Management Committee, and apparently there was two meetings ago, Mark had had some discussion about the numbers weren't right. He went back and double-checked, and they were different than what was on there. I think the amount was 25%. I think was $350 or $400 more would be our portion. So to make sure that was correct, so it was a.
And basically, what it was there was to remove the two poles. Was $780 bucks, and that 25% of two poles. The two poles used to be Norris Electric would when they helped, they would remove the poles. They cannot do that anymore. So that's what it costs to hire somebody to remove the poles, and that was on another line. And Mark didn't catch that when he was here last time. So it's 25% of the two times $780.
Pole removal.
Yeah.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0. Myron, do you want to present this as chairman of law enforcement? Gus, you're up to the hot seat.
I am. Excellent.
Gus is being recognized for a safety award from NIRMA for his actions he has taken to lower risk and reduce expenses on insurance-wise at the jail.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Appreciate that.
You want to touch a little bit on that, Gus?
I can just briefly here.
And, yeah, read it.
Read it. This is from NIRMA, a special recognition given to Miller Gus Gustafson and Gage County Sheriff for his efforts and leadership in promoting timely and substantive professional training for staff and actively striving to make Gage County a safer and more secure place in which to live and work. When I was informed I won this, I kind of asked him why. And, of course, they have a law enforcement safety specialist now through NIRMA they've hired. And he has been a fantastic resource for me to go through. And he's an ex-sheriff, so he knows his stuff. So it's been good to have that. But I think I gave, six awards out at the banquet. And, of course, I was certainly honored because it's six out of several officials around the state. And I look at this as an award not just for me, but just for the county and for the employees, because without them doing the training that I require them to do, it wouldn't happen. But we do Terry Baxter is the safety specialist. He said, well, he sees that probably more with my office than he sees in a lot of different offices. Is that we're pretty proactive in our training on that. We have first aid and CPR AED for the staff. We have an in-house instructor for those courses. We do fire extinguisher courses through. I think Mark comes over once in a while and does that from time to time. We applied for this last year and got NERMA's assist to grant. And so we bought a lot of traffic cones and the safety flares. They're red electronic LED lights we can use for accident scenes. We got a bunch of those for our patrol cars. I just got back one of my deputies from training for the EVOC instructor course, which is emergency operations pursuit driving. So we have an in-house instructor now again. And that goes along with the policy of a pretty extensive policy for pursuit driving, about 8 or 10 pages. So we covered those bases pretty well on that. And then we do quite a bit with the maintenance on the fleet of cars. We have a high degree, as you probably see, that comes across the expenses. But he said you maintain, even though the car, you maintain a high degree of maintenance, which is important to do that, he said. So things like that stood out for us, and so it certainly was appreciated. And
it was wonderful for our department to be singled out in the state of Nebraska. We should be very proud of Gus and what he's done in our department. And this is out of, we have, 90 out of the 93 counties, I think, that are members of NERMA. And so all of their departments are subject to review, and we do have good staff. But I want to thank and congratulate Gus. In addition to that, if I might, at the meeting, I want to encourage you guys to start to get involved. Try to come to the defense course next year. The materials that are given to us in relative to being good county commissioners and supervisors is outstanding. The presentations are so professional, and really the kind of information, not that just that's thrown out there every day, but it's stuff that's really important that we need to work on. And we did, on our behalf, our county clerk, who is our NERMA person, received our dividend check, as we're one of the owners of NERMA, for $6,427. And we will be, as we determine if we will sign a recommitment letter for 3 years, we'll get another $4,000-something in dividends toward the end of the year. We have to sign that recommitment letter by the end of December, however. And I had been appointed to the board of NERMA, and in the election I was elected to the NERMA board, so I will be representing you now on the NERMA board as an elected member. So I want to thank you, Gus.
Thank you.
And thank you, Don, because she is our representative.
Thank you. Approve or disapprove $1,500 towards purchase of a laptop computer for Claytonia Rescue for purpose of eNarcissus documentation.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove $1,100 towards purchase of communication radios for Wymore Rescue.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Setzer. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove authorizing chairman to sign contract with Smart Solutions to provide consulting services regarding economic development.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion.
Rex, since we had our meeting last Thursday night, we kind of laid out the timetable. I did call Bob Henningsen from the Smart Solution. I hadn't been able to visit with him. Pretty excited that, you know, we're going to go ahead with this. And updated him on the timeline that, you know, at the November 7th meeting, joint meeting or whatever, that we would approve the contract or whatever. And he's looking forward to working with us and helping our county and our city and develop an economic committee.
Okay. Good.
I might say that I think this is just an extremely positive move on the part of the county and the city, and I want to commend Matt and Rex and Myron and Kathy. I think getting an independent entity in to look at what we have, look at what we've had, where we've been, where we are, where we need to go, is extremely important in giving advice to the joint group. And I want to commend you for the work that you've done. I just think this is a very, very positive move.
Mr. Chairman,
Go ahead, Roger.
In communication with Mr. Templemeyer, city attorney, we're just suggesting one addition that would limit the exposure for both the city and the county to $6,050. So basically, it's a split cost going in. And something I think he's going to take to the council, and I just suggest that too. I mean, it's implicit, but implicit should be stated. So
that's so we need that amended in the verbiage of the...
Yeah, it just basically limit the exposure to both the city and the county to no more than $6,050 for fees and expenses.
Okay.
And there's other provisions that you saw in there.
That spells it out, yeah.
Well, it's got a dollar amount.
Yeah.
So that's just a suggestion.
Would you want to amend your motion, Matt?
Yes, I'll amend my motion to concur with the recommendation of the county attorney.
Denny, do you want to second the amendment?
I will second the amendment.
Okay. Vote on the amendment first. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Vote on the original motion. 7-0 to approve. Dennis, you've asked me about where are we at with the redistricting, Dawn? So.
We have a proposal. We actually have the map laying on my counter right now. The city has been gracious to work with us as far as their line, seeing where they may move compared to ours in order to avoid and do splits for those as far as ballot faces, things like that. So we're in the process of working with that. We've received some information from the Public Power District where they're talking about changing their lines. So it's, I think, probably by next meeting we'll have a, I'll get you information prior to that, but we're going to have to move forward and decide whether you guys want to go with this proposal, choose another proposal, and so we can, and if any of you want to look at the map right now, stop over in the office and kind of get a picture of where things are at.
Okay. Roger, this is kind of your question, I guess. The NEOC, as you are all aware of, Emily's was thrown out. When can we make the investigation that was paid for by public dollars public? Granted, the investigation was conducted because of complaints by employees that were lodged against management. But at some point, the public is entitled to know what their dollars covered, because these the NLC has not been cheap, the investigation has not been cheap. We have outlaid a lot of dollars that the public is wanting to know where their dollars have gone. In today's world, everything is transparency, you're accountable. Where's the line drawn? The Attorney General presents an opinion on everything. Is it time we ask for an opinion on, can we present this to the public?
Well, you say, where's the law drawn? When you talk personnel, there's your first line, and it's a bright line. So I just caution, you know, again, I think it was an excellent expenditure by this board. It got to the bottom of the matter, and it got some resolution of some issues. I mean, both of them resigned. As far as utility, we are still using some of that. Mr. Pigsley submitted that to the NEOC in regard to a pending matter that still is going. Now, the other thing to keep in mind, and again, you hope that at a point it's done, there are still some rights out there that could be, you know, continued. Again, we all hope that doesn't happen, but until that's done, I would not want to jeopardize anything in front of the NAOC, particularly with Mr. Pigsley representing the county on the last matter. So I understand the public, and I think, you know, hopefully they, you know, can see that there was a great deal of benefit to the board taking the action they did to have an investigator come in and basically look at all this stuff.
Thank you. They're asking for answers, and there's the answer. So anyone else have any questions on that while we're at it? Okay, committee reports. Matt.
Just to reiterate what Myron said here and just kind of give another timeline regarding economic development, the plan is to have a joint meeting in the evening
with the City Council November 7th, and at that meeting is to approve basically a memorandum of understanding regarding the tenets of what we would like to be in that interlocal agreement. I think what we run into as we visited with the city attorney and Roger and the clerk is that there's some complexities there of how we put this together and the creation of a public body and, you know, wanting there to be a hybrid so that we're open with expenditures and as much information as we can, but also develop a system that's beneficial to being effective. And so as we visited in our committee meeting, what our action would be is one, to introduce their economic development board members to affirm those people at that meeting, to affirm a memorandum of understanding and basically go through some of the basic tenets of there being an advisory board of, made up of city and county that would continue to be in place, much like we're working right now. Again, affirm those board members, affirm the process of an economic development executive director, affirm the funding, which we already have in our budget, but how that funding will take place, have a discussion, and in the memorandum of understanding, a termination process, and how the reimbursement will be if for some reason that organization would go away again. So just to kind of go through and lay those things out so that everyone knows the rules that we're going to try and play by, but having this consulting firm come in, it may morph a little bit, and then before we actually approve that interlocal agreement, we want to make sure we get everything the way it needs to be. And that's one of the things that's really held us up, is as we struggle to do this the way that we think is beneficial, we just don't have that expertise. And so Roger's helped working with Tobias, and there's, you know, the city has to do things a certain way, we have to do things a certain way, and then somehow we have to come in the middle and work on this. So what's different is that we're looking to not have two separate agreements as was before, but have one joint agreement. And so November 7th, an evening meeting, it'd be a public meeting, so we'd have to have notification. Now, that was our plan. I guess wanted to have that discussion and be fairly quick, not to minimize the importance of that, but it's not going to be an hour or two long. And they've assured us we can get on the front end of the agenda. So just to present
that. Is this a joint meeting between our county board and the city council as a whole, or between our advisory committees?
As a whole. As a whole.
I'm a little concerned in that we're forming an interlocal agreement and making some decisions relative to that before we have the consulting firm that we're hiring to come in and tell us what direction we should be going. And we're going to make decisions on an interlocal agreement before they say how maybe this should be constructed. I think we're jumping the gun.
No, we're not. We wouldn't be approving an interlocal agreement. We wanted to be up front in a public meeting and say this is where we want to go. This is our general plan, recognizing that it may change. You're exactly correct. Based
on there isn't going to be formal. There isn't going to be approval of this. This is what you're proposing, that is a pro forma interlocal agreement that won't be definitely decided on until we have the consultation.
Correct.
Okay.
And then what that'll do is that'll get it, it'll get it out there in a public format. You know, unfortunate for our rural members, but it will be on the television, where if there are questions, it gives them some more time as we work through this process to give us some feedback as well.
It shows a little solidarity between the two.
Right. And I think that, you know, that to have come out with that type
of questions are good, Danny, though.
Because we're not approving an interlocal agreement.
No, and maybe my understanding is today we approved going ahead and doing it with this group. Now the two lawyers are working over the contract, and basically that night we will approve a contract to hire them or not. No,
we just did that.
We just did that.
That's that.
The council probably will.
They already did that.
They did that last night.
They did that Monday. So, yeah.
Or Monday
night. So if I visit with Bob again, then our contract basically is, with proof, they can start.
They can start.
And okay, then I misunderstood at the meeting the other night.
That's
okay.
Why we talked to have them in attendance at this meeting, too. So we would have this a representative from the Smart Solutions, because we visited with them already. We feel comfortable with them as a body, as a group. And then have them there at that meeting, have our new, because we need to affirm our economic development proposed board at that, the people we've picked at that meeting. But the actual interlocal agreement is to come
because you're exactly correct, Danny. We need to work through that and get their advice and exactly how. We're just going to say this is kind of the roadmap that we're planning on doing. And again, we've had those discussions in that advisory committee meeting, and we've tried to make those as public as possible, but you know, sometimes there's a delay in the communication, so we want to have that out and say this is what we're looking for. This is, we're getting closer to where we need to be, and we want to try and get as much information out there as possible, recognizing that when that interlocal agreement does come, then we will approve that again at a later time, but it's going to take a little bit to get that shook out, because we've already talked about how do we, you know, the financial end of it, the legal end of it, the insurance end of it, and because there's differences between the city and the county, we've run into a few hurdles there. So we will be basically approving a, the terminology was memorandum of understanding. This is the path that we're going, trying to get this thing going a little more. And we also need to work with, in the next 3 weeks or so, work with the attorneys, because as this new body gets together, they need to function as a public body. So we need to make sure that those things are being done correctly as well.
Basically, what would be the agenda item? We would be approving an ongoing discussion and recommendations by a planning committee.
Yeah, and we'll work through that, make sure that we get that action item approved with the attorney so everything's correct. There's limits to how we can continue to function the way that we're functioning without there being action by both bodies. I think the committees have done basically all they can do at this point, and we need to get the bodies to agree, and we need to get this smart solutions group going and really start churning some stuff out again.
Anything else, Danny? Any other committee reports? Terry?
Yeah, Rex. Road and bridge, briefly, highlighting a few things. We have about 23 miles of hard surface roads that we have to have new striping painted on them. Just normal maintenance, the cost on that is approximately $800 a mile, and I believe at that time they said they could get started in about 2 weeks, I think was the time frame that would have got done. And currently, Mark Manelli and Galen both are working on a 1 6-year plan, as well as bridge inspections. So, anything else, Myron, other than normal discussion? Yes.
The painting of the roads, the Adams Ferry blacktop, and then the rest are, there's about five or six other little ones that have been overlaid.
In the Hallam area, in Odell area, where they did some overlays, various locations. I think part of it was north of Liberty, too, I think. But anyway, I think there was a total of 23 miles that had to be done. So,
if I can touch on road and bridge a little bit, just so the whole board's in the same circle we are, we all know how we've talked about doing Hickory West, Hickory Road West of some sort of hard surface. I'll just leave it as hard surface. The discussion is, if we're going to float a bond, we look at doing South 66th Street, the 2 miles of that we have, it's all prepared for it right now. Continuation of the Virginia Liberty Blacktop, the 3 miles there to connect that. Those are some of the discussions that have taken place. If there's other areas, if we're going to float a bond of completing our road structures, we do not want to compromise any of our existing infrastructure at all. So, I mean, we have to be able, if we're putting something in, we still have to be able to afford to maintain what we have. But those are the discussions that are taking place. Are the traffic counts high enough to justify 66th and Virginia Road? I don't know. They are if you live in those areas. I never have understood why Virginia Liberty Road went 3 miles from the state highway and quit. I mean, that seems kind of odd, but it did. So, I mean, if we want to connect our hard surfaces, that's probably, that road gets a lot of activity because of the ethanol plant. And that's kind of some of the discussion of the road and bridge also. So give it some thoughts. Matt, do you want to touch on the bonding if something does take place on that, gas tax allocations?
Well, there are gas tax allocations that the county gets, and I think I need to visit with Don and Lori as well in the treasurer's office to find out exactly what those dollars come in at, how large of a project we could do, and looking at funding that internally. Interest rates are great right now. I mean, they're really good, and if, you know, as we've saved some of these fund dollars up there, we may be able to supplement any internal bond that we would do. We back in 09 or 10, we did an internal bond for a paving project, I believe, Cortland West, and then there was an Adams project up there, too. There was an actual paving project that was done, and I think that was $1 million, and there's gas tax allocation dollars for that. But we need to look and see how that works, because we also use those gas tax allocation dollars to fund Road and Bridge, too. There's a revenue line there. So we need to look at that project. And as we go out there and we try to do a bond, then we also need to take bids from bonding companies. You know, we're not just going to call the first company we come across. You know, they'll give us ideas, and you reference people from time to time. But I think, you know, we will bid the bonds and see who gives us the best bond rate and things like that, if we get to that point. So and we've got some unfinished projects out there that, you know, there's a maintenance cost out there that we, you know, need to look at, traffic patterns. So at this point, it's just talk. We need to see if it's even doable. But before we make any decisions, we need to make sure we give everyone all that information and see what the proposed scope of the projects would be. But that's a little bit down the road. But I think it's probably valuable to start warming ourselves up to the idea of if we decide to do something. So information will be forthcoming.
Okay. We've got the law enforcement committee. One of the things Gus reported on our committee was during one of the recent trials here, for security reasons, they set up the security station on the third floor again. And his comment was they were kind of surprised at the amount of activity. And due to that, they're going to leave that up there on a permanent basis and staff it however their schedule or whatever that works out. But that security station will be left up there on a permanent basis. So if the need arises, they can use it. Then we talked quite a while about cars, and I think in the last few weeks we've talked a lot about vehicles over at the Sheriff's Department. Gus has gotten, or is trying to get some bids on some vehicles out here from Trin Rivers, and we can get those through a state bid. They qualify for the state bid process, so we don't have to go through getting bids here or whatever. If he decides to go that way, they're looking at some nitros out there just because of what works good for the sheriff department. He's also, Mark Mines was at the committee meeting and talked about he has some MPG money that maybe he can help Gus out with this year and getting a vehicle so it qualifies for that. And then the other thing we talked about was they came up with the county van over here that we're using that has about 50,000 miles on that the county uses sometimes instead of paying for mileage. Maybe transferring that over to the sheriff's department and one of their vans, switching that back to the county so that the county can use that. Those are some of the options we're looking at. Okay. Somewhere down the line, you know, we're probably going to have to get creative with our vehicle fleet. And we've talked that in the past. I don't know what the answers are. Do we take over the maintenance with the highway department? We've had that discussion many years. Can we save money on that? What do we spend on maintenance of our patrol cars every year? Do we need to set up a fleet committee that monitors the fleet of the county? Our maintenance schedules, our protocols, our time to revolve or time to rotate. Those are some of the things we need to think about. And I hate to create an ad hoc committee with it in open meetings, but do we need to bring in lay people, not lay people, people from the community that have a background in some of this? And I really believe maybe that's the direction we're going of get an advisory staff that talks to us. And I'm not saying make recommendations because then they're subject to all the open meeting acts and all that, but at least they could review and, you know, talk to the sheriff anyway that, you know, we believe this vehicle is
everyone questions how far can we stretch your dollar. Well, if we have an outside opinion, it's not just him trying to get new equipment. It's somebody that says you're to the point you need to invest into the future. So Gus and I have had some at-length discussions on some of this stuff, and maybe at some point we need to sit and, as a board, look at different direction than maybe where we've been. I have nothing else on it, Myron. Any other committee reports?
One, I think Gus had everybody. We have eight vehicles with I think over 125,000 or over 150,000 miles. Last year, we did not purchase any vehicles in that department. Gus did not purchase any because of several reasons with the budget, and one of those was the dog case that took a lot of $50,000-$60,000 for investigation and things like that. And because of his budget last year, there were not any vehicles. I think we all realize that the amount of vehicles over there they have and the amount of vehicles they need, that if we aren't on a basis of rotating and evolving those vehicles, purchasing one, two, three a year or whatever, we will continually get behind. And that looks a little bit like where we're at now when we have eight vehicles with that high of mileage or whatever. And that's why Gus is, I think, coming up with some of these proposals or some of these ideas and discussing. And they put some time and effort, him and Mark have, into this, and they've come up with some, I think, some workable solutions for some vehicles.
Well, if you look at some of the estimates, we have an estimate on one vehicle of replacing transmission, and we had, Gus got three different quotes, were from $8,000 to $10,000 to replace the transmission on a vehicle that's not even worth $9,000 or $10,000. And we're throwing good money after bad when we do that. So a plan like the Law Enforcement Committee is doing, I think, is excellent, and we need to move forward.
Any other committee reports? Any other committee reports? Gage County Board of Supervisors adjourned at 9:32.